The kids are heading downstairs if they so desire. I'm going to ask the upstairs gang, what are your once a week chores? I guess, you know, what are the things that, like our trash day is Wednesday, so every week on Tuesday night we're thinking about and working on taking out the trash. Well, for me, Saturday is Captain Crunch Day. The other 5 or 6 breakfasts a week, I eat oats. I don't love oats. I just eat oats trying to be healthy, and then I blow that every Saturday by eating little sugary crunch berries. Unless I'm at Bob Evans with these guys for Saturday morning Bible study, and then they all know, and Lynn, our server at Bob Evans, knows to bring me French toast, you know, with syrup and stuff on it then. You know, so just kind of once a week type things. We're coming today to the second half. We got this two-part sermon series regarding what we around here call the partnership, the Church of Christ at Alexandria partnership. You have that on the back of your insert if you have a paper bulletin with you. Just the agreement between our church, a local church body, and then each of us as individual Christians or disciples. And I don't know if sometimes maybe the focus or the thought process, especially if you don't have a long history with church and faith, you might kind of separate Sunday from the rest of the week. You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of the same way I separate Trash Day and Captain Crunch Day. You know, it's just kind of, it's just one day out of the 7. I do this, church on Sunday, and then I'm that. The other 6 days are different. You know? Now, we spent our sermon time last week on the left side of our partnership and in all those ways that the church is trying to make this place a help, an asset to people's faith. But a large of it's centered around, a lot of that takes place on what happens here, whether you call it the Lord's house or the church building and things that we do on Sunday. You know, if we're not careful, we have these discussions and we miss the point that the rest of the places where we live and work and play, those are his house too, you know. And the goal or the idea for the other 6 days of the week, you know, that I would treat them the same and see them all as the Lord's. I think of the early Christians. You got the first disciples, Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 20. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. That's what we want to be doing as well as they could. A couple other passages from recent studies that tie into this. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And then a passage from Galatians that you may have just heard. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And here's for the Wednesday night Bible study people, here's the quote that I said you would hear again. It came from the Hebrews passage. Christian commitment involves living out commitment to Christ in the nitty-gritty of daily living. Beds and bankrolls cannot be separated from theology. This is where the reality of our relationship with God is manifested, in the dusty, crowded sidewalks, the kitchen tables, lunchrooms, lounges, places where we must confess his name and do good and share with others. If we're going to live authentically as believers, we work out these principles in everyday practice. And somebody said, I like this, the truth of the gospel proclaimed in 1,000 varied voices. Well, that's all of us. So to kind of go through this morning, like where are we in these other 6 days? How can we do this? I'm going to use, I think this is this like a Venn diagram format, you know, to see where does it overlap? You know, how are these things connected as I try to minister through the week? I think there could probably be as many different Venn diagrams as there are disciples listening to this sermon. You know, we all have kind of like a little different design. You know, and I'm kind of thinking, I don't know if it's just me, like the bigger the circle, kind of the larger I feel I might have impact in that arena. And all of us aren't going to be the same. Everybody's diagram is different. So for all of us, how can I be a disciple of Jesus making disciples the other 6 days of the week? And we have these various areas. We will start with serving in the church body, which you might think, well, that seems like a Sunday thing. But we do need to be serving. The church has needs all week long. Part of what it means, if I'm going to be a disciple who's trying to help make other disciples, is I'm going to be willing to serve in the local church. In this Galatians 6 passage, it's verse 10. You know, as we have opportunity, do good, especially to the family of believers in church. And we'll illustrate family, we'll illustrate body here for now as Church of Christ, Alexandria. You know, but you and I have to be in agreement that we would serve in these areas no matter what local congregation we serve. You know, and I know if you're on top and you look at the back of the outline, go, he's starting at the bottom. I'm actually starting from the bottom and working our way up, because maybe I just feel like they kind of ascend in order of influence. You think I might have, you know, more as we go. And part of this serving the church part is the church trying to say, we just keep trying to improve communication so you know where the service needs are in the church. We just go over it. And especially, I'm real guilty. I've been here for a while. I know the drill, you know, and you kind of fall into it and you forget that someone who is newer needs an explanation. You know, how do you give your money? You don't physically pass the plate. Agreed. You know, you can see that there are plates in the back on the tables. Feel free to put it in there. You see the online giving opportunity. You could text and, you know, fill it out that way and do it online. You can scan the QR code that's out there by the plates, or you can just continue to write a check or take cash, put it in there. We have sets of offering envelopes if you want to keep records for tax purpose, you know, just communicate how you can help. That's how we do. Social media, yeah, we do have a Facebook page. I didn't put the header up because it looks just like all the other logos, but I try to post a devotion in there on Tuesdays and Fridays. You'll see invitations to services, special events. I'd love to have, I don't know if what this would be like, DIA, like Disciples in Action, you know, it's like, send me a picture of something you did through the week, and we put that on the Facebook page. We do have a little card out in the vestibule, the entryway out there by the missions. Just has all that information for all these various things we always talk about, you know. And it was, somebody said this morning something about flock notes. You know, flock notes just, that has huge potential, and very simply put, that's just communication tool. You can, you know, there's some links you can text or visit, you can ask me, but that's our platform where we have communications, church-wide notes, devotions, prayer requests. There's a women's group, classes, men, kids. Here's an example that I just used recently. I send an email out, and it has there the blue across the bottom in the fine print. Here's a link. You know, I want you to watch this video, so you click on that link, and it'll take you right there. And we can attach video clips and all sorts of attachments. And I'm asking you to pray that we just do better with this. Just know how to use these tools to communicate. And this is kind of like full disclosure. You know, like, I think this is true with all the tech tools at work and school. You know a lot of stuff, right? You can see who was the last one to edit the project. You're in a meeting, you can tell who's at their desk, who's away from their desk, who's yellow, who's green, who's, you can know all that stuff. So it's the same thing here, okay? I'm just telling you, I can see everything. You know, here's an example. If I send an email, and that's fine print, so you don't need to see all the names, but I can tell who it was sent to, when it was opened, who opened it, who didn't open it. Just, all that stuff is right there for you to see. And it's like a caution, you know, especially for first-time visitors, you know, it's like we're just trying to be transparent here. All this is your choice, you know. There's no demand. We don't have paid dues, you know. You're not going to be voluntold. Have you ever, you know, I voluntold you to do that. You didn't click on the link, so now you automatically signed up. That's not how any of this works. You know, I'm just telling, especially newer people, you just happen to come in on a 2-sermon series out of 52 weeks where we're just kind of touching base on this stuff we do every year. Next week in future, you know, we'll have series like one in from the book of Ephesians. Talk about honesty, forgiveness, dealing with sexual temptation, work ethics. Before Easter, there'll be a series of sermons that's just Jesus, his uniqueness, his mission, his promises. In May, we'll be focusing on family, fighting selfishness, imparting biblical values, creating intentional moments. There's lots of things we'll talk about. It just so happens that today, right now, this is what we're on. You know, and God has seen fit that we all be here today. And it's real easy when you're doing, back to the email stuff, it's real easy when, to kind of get down, you know, like, I can see who didn't open it and get all mad. No. I think the rest of the world struggles with that same thing, don't they? This is what Uno says, and again, I don't expect you to be able to see it, but over in the little right-hand corner, Uno is their little sheep mascot, and he always gives me insights. Oh, stellar engagement rate, attaboy. You know, you knocked this out of the park. High opened email rates. Lots of your members have opened. So in reality, we're doing better than a lot of other people. You know, so I appreciate that. One, it said, at the bottom, it said, crazy lick, link clicks. People are going bananas in a good way about it. Just, Uno was all excited about how many people opened that. So I appreciate that. Thank you. There's a lot of churches that are still just kind of coming out of the COVID haze. You know, people trying to come back to worship and meetings and classes and serving the church. You know, we have a need right now to reinstitute greeters who are at the door. You know, they used to have a lanyard around their neck and they would meet people, and we got to be able to walk people through. This is where the kids go. This is how you do communion. This is where the offering is, except maybe you can serve the church by filling in that way. I want to be a disciple who helps make disciples, and some of that's going to be in the local church, and some of that's not just Sunday here. We have needs here all week long. We're always grateful for people here. Dan and Karen are cleaning every week. Sharon's usually working on the library sometime in the middle of the week. Jeff just made sure that the lights in the elevator work so you don't go down in the dark. You know, just trying to think of all the times and ways Landy's usually outside, no matter the weather, working and doing. There's just all kinds of things. I could have a long list. You know, and we're going to work our way. Like I said, I'm working my way into the different spheres. And you might say this next one doesn't connect to church at all, impacting my workplace. You might say, yeah, that's my workplace is a whole lot different from a church sanctuary. You know, I get that. Sometimes where we work and things we hear and see aren't real super godly. You're going to have that. That's who we're trying to reach. You know, it's important that we are different. We do stand apart. I can't be the guy that acts one way Sunday in church and then a completely different human being the other 6 days. In this passage in Galatians 6, verse 7 says, God won't be mocked. Man reaps what he sows. Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I really appreciated the conversation that Nick Vucevic and Dallas Jenkins had. And Nick if you know Nick and look closely at Nick and his station in life where he was born without arms and legs, you know, and he's talking to Dallas, who's a pretty tall guy. And he said, Nick says, imagine you and I are walking down the street. You know, so envision that, you know, and he said, people are going to look at you. And if you're smiling and happy, they're not going to think a thing about it. But if they look at me and I'm smiling, a guy who should be discouraged and depressed and angry, and they see me smiling, they're going to pause and they're going to take note. You know, and I just thought that's us at work. You know, people see me. What's the attitude that you hear most often at work? You know, what's the most common complaint you hear at work? You know, am I feeding that fire? Or do I shine the light? I like this. This is the title of the sermon. Brian Wilkerson wrote a sermon called Stop Witnessing, Start Working. And he cited the work of Randy Kilgore. Randy is vice president of Marketplace Network. They want to integrate work and faith. Randy writes a weekly online devotional. It's called Marketplace Moments. And he's talking, in one of those, he's talking about a conversation that he had with a lady on a commuter train. They get to talking about this. They're talking about faith and work. And he says, the woman was not a believer. And she clearly had some issues with Christians in the workplace. So he asked her the same question that he's been asking people for years. And it was this. What are the five things you want from your coworkers who claim to be Christians? And he said, I got an earful. But in the end, when it all sorts out, it always comes back to pretty much these same things. First one, she said, I wish my Christian coworkers knew more about their faith. What they believe, why they believe it. I don't know if that's interesting to you. I don't know if you're thinking, why would people at work wish I knew more about my faith? So that when they ask questions, if they're going to risk asking questions, they're going to get an insightful, substantive answer. They don't want a cliche. They don't want some hurried embarrassment. They want to know what we believe. They want us to know what we believe. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope you have. The second one on our list, I wish my Christian coworkers had more hope in hard times. I said, when bad things happen, terrorism attacks, tsunamis, things happen in the family, sickness, strife, they're looking to the Christians to have hope. They're looking for a positive perspective on what's happening, for a strength of courage, source. It's kind of like, you know, how you handle it when you break a bone for the eighth time. You know, that positive courage. Third, I wish my Christian coworkers were more curious about the hard questions of life. Parallels one. You know, when they ask the question, they want to know that we thought about it too. You know, we've investigated that. We have, you know, maybe people are more interested in talking about spiritual things than we give them credit. Maybe you're afraid, like, I don't know the answer. Just say that. Hey, I don't know, but let's work on it together. Let's try to find out what that is. Number four, I wish my Christian coworkers behaved more honorably. They wish that they expect Christian Christ followers to be distinctive, and they are disappointed when there's no real difference. And the last one, fifth, I wish my Christian coworkers were more compassionate. Which I don't know if this is a shocker. It seems that many Christians come across as harsh, judgmental, insensitive, and intolerant. Said people aren't bothered by the fact that we're very passionate about our faith. They wish we weren't so hard on people who don't share our faith. Peter in that 1 Peter 3 passage says, gentleness and respect. Impacting my workplace. Influencing the community. Another sphere. Number three. This is how these overlap. My workplace, part of my community. The home is part of my back and forth. Neighborhood, village, your people, your tribe, you know, people you interact with, the community. Local community, we'll use Alexandria as an example. If you want to understand what the community is like, you could now spend the whole day in Alec at the restaurants. You go to Ragamuffins in the morning, have coffee, sit around, visit with the people who come in Ragamuffins in the morning. And then toward noon, you walk down to Dirty Dogs, stop in there, have lunch, sit out at the table, talk to the people who are there for a while. When you're done with that, head on up toward the Hawk's Nest, have supper, meet with you. I think you'd get a pretty good cross-section of the local community. You might say, man, that's a whole day. Agreed. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. It's a constant effort. Local Alexandria community. We talk about, you know, hopefully this will pan out, having this field. And we think a lot, you know, what will we do with additional space? And I'm trying to, I don't know how to ask the community. I want to somehow ask the community, you know, I'm thinking like, do I hand them this card? You know, like, do you do door-to-door? Is it an email? Is it a Facebook post? And I don't know what answers you get, you know, but from people in the community, what do you think a local church should be able to provide or help with in a community? We may not agree with it, but what do they think? know? And I distinctly remember a church that I highly respect. One of their core values was this, being a conscience in the community. How do you get to that? How do you impact and be a conscience for a community that you're not connected with at all? That's not going to happen. You know, so you have to kind of ABC to get there. In this village, as a church family, we have tried in the beginning to be what I'll call a willing supporter. You know, if it is fun days, the annual event, we will help support that financially, various parades and floats that you can see through the years. We have movies. We'll use our screen, take it up to the park. We've helped clean in the park and the schools. Denise being Peter Pumpkin Eater's wife and trick-or-treat up at the school and sitting in that big pumpkin and handing out information. A willing supporter of things in the community. And then you step up to what I called, you move on to being, I call it just a sacrificial provider. You're just going to use your stuff. We have given this building to be used by multiple groups in the community. You know, that's not without a cost. We did the winter carnival thing. That's a big cost. It costs money to buy the mulch that we bought and supplied for the, that's my little coworker crew. Those kids were just there. They just wanted to help. That little girl shoveled about 2 minutes, but that's, she did good while she was there. Well, that type of stuff, just interaction. And that's the kind of stuff that leads to, I enjoyed sitting at the tables Friday, the TJ Evans framework. Foundation for all things Intel, and the mayor invited and said, you're a stakeholder in this, so I went, you know, and listened to what they're talking about. Just all that moving toward being a conscience, you know. And I understand if you're like, I don't live in the ALEC community. I get that. You know, the communities that we represent are beyond these borders. Those same communities need coaches, mentors. Somebody just asked about, what about English as a second language? Could we teach that? Offer that. On the simplest level, Denise and I are trying to figure out how there's like 8 different neighbors that we want to have over for dinner. Not all at the same time, but you know, like 8 different separate, just sit around the table and plant seeds. Let's move on. Empowering missions globally. You as an individual Christian, as a disciple of Christ, can impact around the world. In the Galatians passage, it's verse 8. You know, one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit reaps eternal life. We just had this last week. Go into all the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And you read that and say, man, that's a pretty big job for just one little disciple. How do I individually change the world? And that's one effort at a time. And a church, collectively, we have all these missionaries, and we say, you can help us support them individually. Chris and Nisha, the Irwins, who have been in Guayaquil, Ecuador, and then Granada, Spain, and now they're working on intermission with Tori. We continue to support Karenita Wulsifer. Just lost her husband, Jim, a couple months ago after 50-plus years of serving in Italy. She continues. Likewise, Sherry Nunez, who has served in Mexico for decades, lost her husband serving on the field years ago. Lazarus Fish is leading a work in Myanmar, what used to be Burma. We had this church, there was $15,000 that you guys gave to help build a new seminary building. We're just kind of waiting for their tally from the rest of the efforts to see if we can help them that way. Lifeline is headquartered in Westerville and Columbus, and they just work diligently around the world in numbers of fields and services. CCL is the Center for Church Leadership, the Russell School of Ministry. We support them down in Cincinnati, Florence, Kentucky. Extended Hand, if you see pictures of Lee Ladd, he leads a prison ministry that we support over in Indiana. NOAA stands for the Northeastern Ohio Association of Helpers. They plant churches. CCHO, you're signing cards out there in the foyer for kids who are in the foster care. Yes, Denise and I are licensed foster parents, and right now we're just kind of waiting. It's more difficult than we thought for them to find kids that we can take. We don't get a lot of calls, and it's very hard for them to find somebody because we need somebody who can be by themselves at least some point, and right now most of those kids can't. You know, they need somebody 24/7, so it's a little harder than you might have expected. You know, but just those opportunities. You know, our church supports all of those ministries collectively, but you and I are giving that money individually. You know, we're not going to set a demand. We don't stop you at the door and say, put the money in for missions. You know, beyond money, we've taken teams, work teams, mission trips. Hopefully COVID's receding. We can get back to that. Lifeline packs food, meals for people. You can go and work in that. I'm seeing more stuff online, like an awareness of sex trafficking, sustainable business models. There's a lot of things. And that's kind of like the power, the beauty of the internet. You have access to all of these missions around the world. As an individual Christian, you can look at that and say, hey, I'm gonna support a kid in another country. Sponsorship, foster. I'm gonna support translating the Bible. Pioneer Bible translators. You might say, yeah, if my health, you know, age, whatever, I'm not gonna be able to do a lot of hands-on stuff in the building. You might say, I'm retired. I don't have a big sphere of influence at work. But this can be huge. You know, and if nothing else, the simplest, the most profound effort you and I can make for the missions is to pray for them individually, continually. I hope you know that we rotate these missions through that little insert in your bulletin. Every week we list another mission for you to pray for them. And then the last one, this is probably the most heartfelt of all these circles of influence, would be leading my own family. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be a disciple in that realm. I would point you to verse 9 where it says, if we don't give up. You know, a lot of this is just keep trying, keep trying. That's why the crossover here, the church is trying to provide teachings and lessons and all members of the family and groups and meetings and fun events. You want the church to be a place where a family can come and be fed and nurtured. But at the end of the day, whatever's done here on Sunday is just one of the 7 days. You have all this time, the other 6 days. I often challenge the dads with Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I know sometimes dads are like, that should be reversed because they're the ones that exasperate me. You know, and that's a two-way street. Back and forth. How do I do that? And that's where the church comes alongside. That's where these guys on Saturday are talking about more than just pancakes and cereal. You know, there's some serious discussions. When we're playing golf, it's not all just keeping score and beating the next guy. You know, just interacting and helping each other do what will help lead our family. When the women are meeting, this is Ephesians 5:33. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. And again, that could be, that's not real easy for me. And you come and you gather when the women are meeting, be it Thursday or the other evenings. You know, they're talking about, how do I do that? Love and respect when we have those series and lessons. I heard the homeschool parents were meeting here, and I heard one parent ask another prior to Christmas, do you do presents or do you do experiences? And I understood what she was getting at, you know, the idea of but I thought, it doesn't really matter which way you do. There could be a high cost, right? Experiences could be a lot in money and certainly a lot in time. You know, am I giving, am I investing the time that it takes, even at the expense of maybe some of these other bubbles? You know, when you leave, when you go out in the foyer, if you see the four jars of marbles on the wall there, what do they mean? There's a really full jar of marbles that says birth, and there are, I think, like 936 marbles in there because you have that many weeks with your kid until they graduate. And there's another jar, I think it's like third grade, and it's got less marbles than sixth grade. There's a jar that says senior year, and you know how many marbles it started with, 52. You know, I don't know if somebody's like stolen one or two out of there, so no. But you get the point. You know, if you need to take a marble and put it in your pocket to remind you, feel free. You know, I could play a bunch of songs here. Darius Rucker, it won't be like this for long. I think it was Trace Adkins, you're going to miss this. I don't remember who sang Cats in the Cradle, but you know that song. That family circle, I think that's the one where everybody wants it to get right. I want it right. Kids, parents, siblings, my spouse. I want them all to be a disciple. How do I do it? How do I lead a growing or a grown kid that's decided they disagree and walked away? You know? And then you go to the prodigal, the father, the kid who walked off and the parent who waited and prayed and trusted and hoped. You know, always be prepared to give an answer. What's that say? With gentleness and respect. You know, why are we going to have a whole series of sermons about the family? Right now, media, Dave Stone, Faithful Families. I'll give you the dates so you can plan ahead. April 30th, Faithful Families, Model Christ. May 7th, Faithful Families Fight Selfishness. May 14th, Teach Servanthood. 21st, Impart Biblical Values. 28th, Create Intentional Moments. You know, just yet another way, trying to help. End of the day, which would be the end of any of the 7 days, we try to provide tools. There's a partnership here where we're trying to give you or me the tools, but you and I have to be the ones who individually use them and employ them. 2-3 weeks ago, I gave you an eraser. I don't know if you've yet used your eraser, either figuratively or literally. You know, the church tries to do what they can to give tools on Sunday. It's up to us to employ them and use them the other 6 days. Let's pray. Father God, we are thankful for this gathering. Thank you for those who have been so willing through the years to make efforts to help make disciples on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturday afternoons. Father, of evenings and mornings, any day of the week, any season of the year, there are opportunities for us in these various spheres of influence. And we pray that we would just take what we have, our abilities, our struggles, our confidence, and just share that in that arena at that point in time. We know that you empower us and enable us through your Spirit to do that. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.